keep calm and double your end of turn effects, and keep calm and double your end of turn effects. And if you see us on ladder, coin concede.
Coin concede.
Coin concede. You were waiting for that one, weren't you?
I really was, yes. yeah, the virtual tabletop thing was making, like, we started using this thing for Commander 2 called Convoke, which is new, that it's like the one good vibe coded thing that exists. And but it's like, because they've had spell table for years and it sucks and they haven't updated it since like the pandemic, but this is like you're able to like play a deck that steals cards from other people and like have them like appear on your screen and like you click on the cards and they actually like come up most of the time, which spell table doesn't do. And so it's like the only, then they're like, yeah, we did this all with AI. I'm like, okay, fine. You have the exception to prove the rule. Like, fantastic. Like,
I've had this idea for a math app. I won't bore you with like all of the, like a math education app. Basically, there's all these great, like, hands-on, manipulative, like, using all the education science to help teach math in a conceptual way apps for like pre-algebra and below, especially elementary school math. Like, we're going to have these great prime factor circles, and we're going to have like fraction bars and, you know, like balancing the equations literally on a scale, all this stuff. But when you get to Algebra 2, they're like, you're an adult now, use a book. Which does not work super well for every student. So, and there are some, like Desmos does an amazing job with graphing. So there are some apps that do a good job, but there's not a lot for helping people with like algebraic manipulation. So I was like, well, I know how to code, but I don't know how to code UIs. And the UI would be really important on this. But my brother does. That's his whole job. He's a front-end web developer. I don't really know JavaScript, but I would want to make it a web app. And my brother knows JavaScript. So, because that's, again, his whole job. So I was like, okay, surely between me, like if it's me and my brother who both together know things about coding, then we can make sure the AI is not being really stupid. I will say that the AI did help me talk through my idea and like point me at libraries that I didn't know existed. And then of course I like double checked the actual library and what's the actual documentation on that. But I definitely was like, this is complicated enough. I'm not just going to be like, here is my entire app idea and build it. But rather like, think about the architecture, think about what, like, there are good math libraries out there. And then the design is all definitely, like, stuff that I'm thinking about that comes from years and years of trying to teach Algebra 2 to calculus and noticing what students get stuck on. Like, being able to rewrite expressions in different ways is really hard, and there's not great ways to teach it. Like, even just recognize that like x over 2 is the same as 1/2 x.
Yeah,
it's not obvious to everybody. Like, you need to, how do you practice that, right? So I'm like, okay, we have to have a way to like practice this. So but it's definitely a summer project, because I'm going to need to get up a learning curve on JavaScript. I'm going to need to get up a learning curve on UI. I'm going to need to figure out how to represent the math on the back end, which hopefully the libraries I found will do most of that for me. Question mark, but I'm definitely going to have to do some of it. I think it's the kind of thing where, like, I was always somebody, a really good friend of mine who unfortunately I'm no longer in contact with, but she was always very ambitious and super bright and the kind of person who would be like, well, I have this idea of something that I want to do and I don't know anything about it, but I can figure it out. And in some ways, I really admired this, because it meant she did go off and do a lot of cool stuff, often successfully. And she had a lot of talents. But also, it was so antithetical to me because she'd be like, I have no idea how to do this, but I'm just going to go do it. And I'm like, that's not how I operate at all. I need to like understand how we're going to do this. But this is like a little bit in that direction. And I think it is. I mean, I've jumped into having to teach a million different kinds of classes all the time and I figured it out. So,
yeah.
And most of what I know about programming, most of what most programmers know about programming, they kind of had to figure out in real time with a project. So,
I mean, that's how I ended up with the open tournament dashboard is I needed to teach myself Python. And like, I'm like, okay, well, I need a project. Okay, well, I want to see all these deck lists in something like a Tableau. Well, how am I going to get those deck lists? Well, there's the API. Need to do something with it. So I guess I'm going to learn Python to try to do something with that to be able to bring those in and not have it take me, you know, until the next tournament to get all the data together. And then, you know, just kind of taught myself how to do all that. And I mean, it was relevant because we were starting to work to go into Python at the day job anyway. So it was like, okay, well, I didn't need an excuse to learn Python. I guess this is the excuse that I'm going to use to learn Python.
You know? Yeah.
But you also, like, there's also kind of an element of, like, you can only learn something that you almost know. You know, and
yes,
and some people aren't limited by that, but you know, a lot of people are.
Well, it's kind of like when I have kids for I haven't had a computer science class super recently because we got another. For a minute there, I was the only teacher at the school who knew any coding, but now they have somebody who like actually majored in computer science and like has run camps for coding, and so like she knows her stuff more than I do, and so she's gotten all the computer science classes, which makes sense. But when I was doing those, and I did quite a bit of it, I had some students who didn't know anything about coding and some students who were kind of self-taught. And of the self-taught students, I only ever had one who could really just bootstrap himself straight through AP computer science on that. And that was because he'd been fairly systematic about how he had self-taught himself. Everyone else, there would be like weird holes. It's like that second order ignorance. You don't even know what you don't know. So they would be like really good at using Stack Overflow, be able to do all this fancy stuff. And then I would realize they don't know what a for loop is, which for anyone who doesn't know programming is like a really basic form of list of a loop. And loops are like extremely important. And, you know, they didn't even know that they were missing something relatively fundamental. So at least for the fundamentals, it really does help to have, like, a proper course, whether that's through a school or through a program or whatever. And then if you're going to learn a new thing, like, how do you use GitHub properly? Like, asking somebody who knows or, like, finding, you know, there's a million tutorials for anything that you want to look up tech-related. If an area is totally new to you, it really does help to like get the fundamentals. And then if you already know a lot of stuff adjacent to it, and once you got the fundamentals, then you can just learn on like an as needed basis. Or if you already know, like I know some Python, Java, and I used to do a little C++, but it's been about 10 years since I touched it. So I would need a refresher.
Oh, I would never want to deal with pointers again. Yeah.
Oh, pointers were the worst, but I'm like, okay, I want to spend at least an afternoon doing like JavaScript bootcamp, but it's not going to be like that different from other things that I've done. So I'm confident that I can pick it up. I'm trying to balance like the appropriate self-confidence with like, there are people whose whole job is this and they took a while to get to that position. Experts do know things. I mean, even, you know, like with teaching, I certainly know a lot more now than I did when I started teaching. And I think like, or, you know, like elementary school teaching, one would think, well, everybody knows elementary school stuff. Like we, you know how to add and subtract and multiply and spell words and read a book. So surely this should be easy to teach.
I mean, this was the whole premise of the show. How are you smarter than a fifth grader? Like,
yes, first of all, there's stuff in that curriculum that you don't remember, and second, like the proper, like, there are better and worse ways to teach kids how to read, for example. Like, strikingly better and worse ways, and it's not necessarily intuitive. And the research on how to teach them math is well behind the research on how to teach reading, but there definitely are, like, better and worse ways. Although it depends some on the particular students that you have. Like, kids who already have a good grasp of the math concepts tend to do really well with, like, exploratory stuff. Like, let's figure out what this new concept is all together and, like, experiment with it. That is great, and it really helps you discover it, and it's more fun, and it helps you remember. But if you don't have any fundamentals with which to experiment, you're never going to get there, and it feels awful. And then at that point, you do need some more, like, explicit direct instruction. Not in a drill and kill way, ideally. But not every kid is just going to, like, figure it out. And even kids who are figuring it out, like, they can benefit from, here's some direct instruction. Okay, now we're ready for it. Now we can play with this thing. Or let's all play with it as a class, and then now I will explain it. so that we have a chance to explore the space, and then now we get some direct instruction. Like, there can be big wars between the direct instruction people and the constructivist exploratory people. But really, I think the answer is kind of both and, right? Like, just like with reading, there are definitely better and worse ways to do it, but ultimately we need phonics, and we need telling more interesting stories and getting that reading comprehension. Like, we need both things, and the spelling and the meanings of the words and the vocabulary. We need all of that. Is that really hard as a teacher? Yes, because you only have so many hours in the day and you don't have enough resources. But ideally, we're trying to balance things. With small asterisks, like, if you have a kid who's trying to learn to read, a lot of, like, millennials and, like, Gen Z grew up with this, like, well, just use context clues. If you don't know a word, this is good if it's, like, a vocabulary word, like, you can decode how it's pronounced probably, but you don't know what it means, you can use context clues, great. But if you literally cannot sound out this word, then just guessing what it is based on the context is a really bad habit. Because then you don't learn how to actually read new words. And when the pictures go away and there's more hard to read words, like third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, you hit a wall.
That's why phonics is important.
Yep. For anyone who's listening to this and has not run into the reading wars or science of reading, there's a podcast called Sold a Story. There's a lot of stuff out there about it. I got the very long version in my grad school classes. And yeah, the long and short is phonics is important for everyone, and especially kids who have dyslexia.
Sure.
But it actually is helpful for everyone, even the, like, 5% of kids who just, like, figure it out kind of naturally. And ideally, they should also have, like, be teaching the spelling. Obviously, spelling in English is insane, but there are patterns, like IGH. What are the G and H doing there? Well, that pattern always makes an I sound, like light, night, high, height. Well, height has an E, but right. Like, so we can recognize, like, okay, the G and H are there because the Anglo-Saxons are crazy, but this grapheme, this, like, group of letters, it's not like there's just randomly a G and H in there so much as, like, these three letters make the I sound together. You can learn, like, patterns, which tends to work better than rules that have 5 million exceptions, like we were mostly taught. English is crazy, though. English is a hybrid pidgin language. English borrows from everywhere. One of my instructors, actually, she would teach her students a lot of etymology as a way to make it kind of interesting and also make sense, because words are generally in English, either Anglo-Saxon, French, Latin, or Greek, and they all have different patterns for the letters. And that is why, like, CH in Latin is a CH, in French is a SH, like chef, and in Greek is a K, like character or chorus. So it is logical within its own etymology. It's just because we have all of them smooshed together in one language, it seems like it's insane.
Just get good, you know?
Yeah, or I guess just give up and speak Spanish. I don't know. The Spanish-speaking kids, I think, get especially annoyed because they're like, Spanish does not have this problem. And they are correct. Spanish does not have
this problem. No, but you have to think about what gender every word is.
Yeah.
If you're a native speaker, apparently it's not hard. It's just
no, it's not. Just like like all these weird things in English aren't that big either. But it's like that's always been like when I've tried to learn Spanish, that's always been like a big blocker for me. It's just like having to think about like, well, which gender is every non-proper noun, and like, ow, my brain hurts. Like, you know, and I always guess wrong. So. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like an extra tag we're not used to tracking when it comes
It's just extra. It's just like a little bit of extra like processing that, you know. But I mean, again, because I'm not used to it. Like, I'm sure that if I grew up speaking Spanish, that would be second nature to me. It's just when it's something that I don't have to think. It's like I drive an automatic. If I had to drive a stick shift, I'd be lost. It's the same thing. It's like, I'm sure it's there. Yeah. But right. But like, because I've never had to worry about it, now it's like if I have to think about it, then it's like a lot of extra effort to put on something that I'm just not used to having to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It is an additional burden on working memory until you get it automatic. So,
yeah.
And like, I'm somebody who has trouble remembering like tags of things. Like I was complaining about this in the Discord. When people say like system one, system two, or like type one, type two, for things that are not naturally ordered, I hate that because I cannot remember which one is which. So like Daniel Kahneman in psychology has this thing about in the brain, system one and system two. And I'm going to get wrong which one's which, even though I have taught this. One of them is automatic processing and one of them is effortful conscious processing. And I just can never remember which one is which. Like, just give it a name. Or like type one, type two errors in statistics. I think this one I just recently looked up, so I remember type one is false positives and type two is false negatives. But why don't we just say false positive and false negative and move on with our lives?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. It's like I, you know, like even like I grew up like because I went to a Jewish day school, right? Like I grew up learning Hebrew, but like Hebrew, the vowels are not always written along with the word.
Yeah, and usually not, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've got like a printed book, then you have it there, right? But if you're like anybody who's just like writing, like they don't write the vowels, and you just kind of have to know what the words are. And it's like, if you don't know the words, then you don't know the words. And it's like, it's, you know, it's like one of these, it's every language has some of these like little things, right, that you have to just, you just know because you're used to them. And then when you have to try to learn it as a non-native, it's just like this extra layer of friction. It's like, oh, why do we do that? Oh, just because, you know, that's how we do it. We're fine. You'll deal with it, you know.
And the slang.
Yeah,
or like the slang. Swear words. Because they don't teach you the slang and the swear words when you take it in school. And often it is like very, like I saw a meme that was like all the different ways that people use the S word. And like they mean very different things, like depending on the context, or even something like yeah no and no yeah mean different things. Like if like yeah no means correct, that is not right, and no yeah means yes.
Oh my god. Yeah,
it's like, what do people do? I don't know.
Why are people? It's amazing we're able to communicate with each other.
Why
at all.
Is English? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just amazing any of us are able to communicate with each other at all, honestly.
Yeah. Honestly, it makes sense that, you know, it took us this long to get computers that passed the Turing test and they still don't actually, like, understand. But, yeah. I've been reading, I won't go, maybe I'll do this digression next time because it would take too long, but I've been reading Michael Pollan's book on consciousness, that he just wrote called A World Appears, and it's very interesting. It has a lot of stuff I didn't know about, like cognition in plants. Plants are doing a lot more stuff than I realized. Plants are figuring out, it's just slow, so we don't notice. But if you time lapse it, like, they are figuring out a lot of stuff. They are not just putting their roots out randomly. They are thinking mm-hmm. about which direction to put them, right? They're not just reaching randomly for a pole. They actually have senses. Like, they can tell temperature. They can tell touch. Depends on the plant. But it was like,
you're going to make a lot of vegetarians very upset pretty quickly. Like,
but they eat mushrooms. We already knew all kinds of stuff about mushrooms.
Well, and one of the researchers, so, you know, like, whether does that mean they're conscious?
Right, sure, yeah.
Right? They're sort of sentient in the fact that they respond to their environment. The two of the researchers who Michael Pollan talked to disagreed. One of them was like, yeah, plants feel pain. And then one of them was like, okay, this is a point where we disagree. The plant cannot do anything about being munched on, so there's no point in it feeling pain.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, we do have to eat something.
Yeah,
indeed. Yeah, there's nothing left if you take, like, if you take out plants, what are you going to eat?
Chemicals.
It's not, you have
that,
to,
I mean, that's,
I mean, yeah, you basically have to, you've got the bars from Firefly, right? What a great scene, by the way. If anyone's not seen Firefly, they're like smuggling this stuff, and you think it's like bars of something, you know, like gold or some kind of valuable currency, mineral, whatever. And then he cracks one open, takes a bite, and is like, you know, they're grade A foodstuffs. You know, all the nutrients you need for. A colony out on the outer rim, and you're like, oh shit, they're just smuggling bricks of food. Like,
that would, I mean, food, there's like things like gold have social value. They have value because we think they have value. Food has
hierarchy needs
more
of value. Yeah. if you don't have it, it in fact becomes the most valuable thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, second only to water. So, like, actually, that's important. Yeah.
Should probably find someone to raid? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
No.
I guess we can raid Tito, because it looks like mostly Battlegrounds folks tonight, which is to be expected, I suppose.
Reasonable. Yeah.
So we're going to go raid Tito. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. We will see you. At least two of us will see you next week. Watch the Masters Tour this weekend. And same bat time, same bat channel. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.